This is what? Be what? Persistent in prayer. Open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. And I just need two people to read verse 18 from two different versions. Ephesians 6:18. We can take three versions. We can take a wild card version. But let's have Ephesians 6:18 from New Living Translation, from New King James, then a third one, any other one. Ephesians 6:18. Yes, who is ready? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Yes. Okay. Did I see? Yes, go for it. Ephesians 6:18. Tell us which version.
This is the English Standard Version. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to the end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints.
It says, keep alert, to the end, keep alert with all perseverance. That means that in the place of prayer, you need to do what? You need to persevere. Thank you. Yes, another version, Ephesians 6:18. Yes?
New King James.
Yes.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
You have to watch with all perseverance. And what? Supplication. For yourself? Only? For all saints. Hallelujah. Sometimes the reason why you are not moving forward is because nobody is praying for you. But why should anybody pray for you when you know you don't pray for anybody? You only pray for yourself. Huh? You know, Bible says what you sow is what? Is what you reap. Apart from mercy drops, God rains on the good and the evil, isn't it? Amen? Thank God for mercy. Say thank God for mercy. Hallelujah. Yes, Ephesians 6:18. New Living Ephesians 6:18. Tell us which version.
Okay.
Yes.
J.B. Phillips, New Testament.
Okay. J.B. Phillips, New Testament. Go for it.
Pray at all times, with every kind of spiritual prayer, keeping alert and persistent as you pray for all Christ men and women.
Amen. You have to pray. How often?
At all times.
That's the discipline you have come into if you're a believer. You pray at all times. Yeah, and you read the second line that comes with persistent.
Keeping alert and persistent.
You have to keep alert and be persistent in your prayers. Do you have New Living? I come to you now, finally. What I'm doing is to help you just meditate. Meditation is repetition. As we repeat it, it will come alive. Ephesians 6:18, New Living. Go for it.
Pray in the Spirit at all times and in every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayer for all believers everywhere.
Pray in the Spirit at all times and in every what? Okay. There is no occasion where you can say, okay, you know what? We don't need to pray now. Really? If there is one, you ought not to be doing that activity. Hallelujah. The Bible says, in everything we have to do, we have to do it to the glory of God. And if I'm doing something to the glory of God, I can pray. Hallelujah. I can what? I can pray. See, every time you pray, you're inviting God in. You know, God is a gentleman. He's not a bully. Yeah? He's not what? He's a bully. He gave you free will. He didn't have to. You could have made you a robot. Program you. Yeah? He wants you to be in church on Sunday. He will just program you. Like I program my central heating. Yeah? Service starts at 10:30. He will program you to be here at 10:20. Whether you like it or what? Or not. He could have done that. And there's still nothing you can do about it. Amen? But he didn't. He gave you what? He gave you free will. Yeah? But that's not all he gave you. He gave you love. In fact, the free will that God has given you is an expression of his love. Hallelujah. But if that was the end of the message, yeah, we should all go home and sleep. Love, when it's given, has to be responded. When love is not responded to, yeah, it results in wrath. You know? Love is not complete if it's only given. The receiver of love has to respond to make it a complete cycle. You can't just go ahead and be giving and be giving and be giving and be giving. You also need to receive. Hallelujah. God says, give and what? And you will receive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when we receive God's love, we have to respond back. The free will He is giving us, yeah? We have to use it to respond back. He can't force us. But when we do it freely, God is happy. God is not automatically happy. Hallelujah. When you give Him back with your love, God is what? Happy. So prayer is that one of the activities that you use to invite God in to your affairs. I say, God, I want you to be a part of this. Whether good or whether good times or bad times. Whether the times, whether you are flying high or you are in challenges, God wants to be part of it all. He wants to walk your journey with you. Not as a passive onlooker. He wants to intervene on your behalf with your permission. Can you say that again? Say, God wants to intervene on my behalf with my permission. And that's what you do through prayer. You following that? That's why it says you pray at all times and on every occasion. You know, you can even ask God when you are going and say, what should I put on today? I call it the prayer of consultation. Consult Him. Many times you just tell God to do what you want. You don't even consult Him. It's like you're wiser than Him, yeah? Are you wiser than God? Yeah. Amen. He said, be persistent. So there's a secret we're looking at today about persistence. What persistence can do for you. I'll be showing you in the Bible. I'm not the one teaching this. You will see that Jesus taught it so clearly. Why? How did I miss it? It was there all along and I missed it. Why will I miss it? So to help us, let's go to Luke. Go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 11. There's some principles of prayer in Luke 11, 1 to 13 that I want to unpack for you today. As the Holy Spirit has just, you know, as I read it over and over again, the Holy Spirit just showed me things. I know these verses. But thank you for Rema. As you stay in His presence, as you stay with the Logos, Rema comes. He will show you what you can see. Luke 11, verse 5 to 8. Now, you don't need to be super spiritual to understand this story. This is just, I'm going to go from the storyline, just normal physical level, then I take it spiritual. So let's just follow this story. Analyze it for what it is. Luke 11, 5 to 1. Thank you. I like people who can follow me and help me. Yes, two readers. Luke 11, 5 to 8. Please follow it. This is just a story which I believe that you can relate with.
New Living Translation. Then teaching them more about prayer, He used...
Who is teaching them? Jesus. Who is He teaching? His disciples. He's teaching them more. He wants to take them... This is not general level. Jesus now wants to take them deeper. So first of all, He said, teach us how to pray. He taught them the Lord's Prayer, which is a model prayer. Lord's Prayer is there as your model. Like, I don't know how to pray. Just follow that model. You can pray it, but you can also expand it according to the model. But now He wants to teach them more. More means I want to take you deeper. Yeah? Continue.
Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You said to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door is locked for the night, and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he wouldn't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence.
Wow. Another version. Another version. Luke 11, 8. Please listen. Listen to it. This is just a story. When you're going spiritual, I'm just looking at a natural story. We want to analyze this natural story, then we take it spiritual. Go on.
And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he'll rise and give him as many as he needs.
As many. Let me ask you some questions. So I'm going to help you think. Okay? So this is you and me just looking at this story. What do you notice from this story? Anything that caught your attention, anyone? What caught your attention? Just story. What caught your attention just from this story? Anything caught your attention? Yes? Yes. Just say one so that we can have many people say.
In the New Living Translation, when you say shameless, so you need to be shameless persistent.
Your persistence needs to be deep to the point of shamelessness. Yes? More? Anything you notice from just this story?
Yeah, just like a little observation about how the story is sort of timeless. Like, this was obviously written thousands of years ago, but you can imagine a scenario happening like this to yourself or to someone close to you, and then it's thinking about how you would react, or how you would deal, how your faith would interact with a similar situation, and just how it transcends time and the fact that it can be applicable as now as it was then.
Yes. More reflections on the story. What caught your attention? There are many things. We can list like 20.
I think the only the friend could only go to his friend's house at midnight because they had a relationship. I don't think he would go to a stranger's house.
Go and knock your door.
Yeah.
When you don't know him. Yeah? So in this case, they had a relationship. Yeah, thank you for that. I like it. More?
I think it shows selflessness that he was shamelessly persistent when he was trying to set something before one of his friends that travelled rather than for himself.
Okay, let me ask a question that we take go deeper. Why? What fed his shameless persistence? Yes. What gave him the confidence to be a persistent? Yes, anybody? Something must have given him some confidence, yeah?
He
was convinced about his need. He cared about his need. You know, it's not everybody that wants what they need. Do you know that? If you're a pastor, that's the first lesson in pastoring. You're trying to help people who want what they need. They need it, but they don't want it. That's the problem of leadership. Yes?
One of the things I've learned is he asks someone who he knows has, someone who is going to actually give it.
Huh? Yes. So basically, he knows his friend has. Yeah? He knows. That's not an issue. This friend has extra loaves. Do you get it? You know, that there are different type of people, but there are some people that they will keep the one they need, they will keep the one they need for another. Another 2 months. you know, if you go to their garage, it's there. Yes, more. We're still unpacking the story. We're not going spiritual. We're still on just general level. Yes. See, when Jesus gives you a story, Jesus is very deep. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I think his persistence paid off because it was given more than he actually needed.
Yes. Or as much as he would need. Yes. More? More? Yes.
Yeah, I think what comes up here is lacking the ability to give with no thought of reward.
Lacking what?
Lacking to be able to give without any thought of reward.
That's right. More? Okay, let's take that. Yeah, go for it.
Part of the story boils down to we all face different sort of challenges in life, and if you face a challenge in life, you don't just go and say, "Oh, give me this thing," and then you think it will come immediately. If you ask, you don't get, you continue to ask, and by showing your persistence, then you get an answer.
Amen. Very important key there. I'll come back to it. Yes.
Also, the time of it, because it's not like his friend came on the journey and he said, "I'll go over in the morning to go get you something." He went knowing that that person is likely to be in bed and that he would be essentially inconveniencing that person, but he knew that it wasn't something that should be like put aside.
He was convinced of his need. I think we stop there for time. I could go on another 10 minutes and keep unpacking that story, but time is our friend. In this story, you can learn a lot of things about prayer. Hallelujah. And I want him to teach you some today. I don't think I can teach you all. The Holy Spirit will have to help you with that, but I will try. Get you on that pathway. Yeah? What do you think would have happened if he was going to ask his friend for something he didn't need? Like the friend, yeah? So maybe asking for... What can you ask your friend at night that your friend knows that you don't need that night? Any, please help me. Anything. Think of anything you can ask your friend. The friend, you don't need it. What? Sorry? a skateboard, yeah? Uber. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Please put your hands and encourage him. Like, he goes to his friend at night, at midnight, and says, "Please, I need a Uber. I need to Uber my house this night." Yeah? Because my friend will arrive, yeah? Tomorrow afternoon. Will he answer? It doesn't matter how shamelessly persistent he is, it's not going to happen. So you have to understand that, firstly, the person asking is convinced of the genuineness of their need. Then the person being asked is also convinced of the genuineness of their need. The only difference is that it's inconvenient. Are you with me? Now, we're going to go spiritual now, for us to understand something spiritually. Yeah? Why is it that God doesn't answer all your prayers the moment you press the button? Why do you need to be persistent? No, actually, I'm jumping. Let's go. Let's rewind. What is persistence? Let's define it. Because sometimes, yeah, we stand the risk of not wrong definitions. We don't know what we are even dealing with. What does it mean to be persistent? Yes? You're allowed to check Google. What does it mean to be persistent?
Yeah, to keep trying.
To keep trying.
Never give up.
Never give up. More? To be persistent. What does it mean? Come on. Persistent. Consistently pushing. Yes?
You have to be annoying.
You have to annoy somebody. Not necessarily. But I get you. Yeah.
Continuous harassment.
Continuous harassment. Yeah, sometimes it may involve that. Yeah?
It's a form of hard work because it's laborious.
It's laborious. It is. I didn't teach us. Jesus teaching us some principles of prayer. Yes?
Not getting discouraged.
Not fainting. Not losing heart. Let me help you. So, I have some definition here from Google. Be persistent means that you have the tenacity to carry on in the face of adversity. So, if you say persistence, is tenacity to carry on in the face of adversity. Okay, let me help you. So I was searching, so I found this definition that just gives all the words for persistence. So listen, to be persistent is to be constant, continual, endless, enduring, insistent, insistent, perpetual, relentless, repeated, resolute, steadfast, steady, tenacious, unrelenting. Hallelujah. But a key word of all those is repeated. Most of the prayer we pray in our lifetimes is repetition. The prayer you prayed yesterday, you'll probably pray it tomorrow. Isn't it? And I was teaching at Home Fellowship, I said, when Jesus said, when you are praying, don't use vain repetition. The key word there that you need to avoid is what? Vain. All prayer is repetition. Yeah? You know, Jesus went to the garden and he told his three disciples to go with him. And the Bible said he went to pray. He said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass over me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. 1 hour later, he goes there, they are sleeping. Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Then he goes back again. What's he going to pray again? Same prayer. But it's not vain. He's not praying to impress anybody. He's not even praying to impress himself. You know, sometimes you can impress yourself. Say, I've prayed. No. It's a cry of the heart. It's a cry of what? Of the heart. Yeah? It's a cry. Prayer is a cry of your heart. Hallelujah. Prayer is what? The cry of your heart. This is a law. It's a principle. So the question I want to ask now is, why doesn't God just answer your prayer the moment you press the button? Just say, Lord, I need this, I need that. You don't need no need for persistence. Why do you need persistence? You just knock and, oh, you're my friend, take it. Bye bye. Why does he go do that? Why did Jesus have to pray 3 hours? At least 3 hours. At least three. Because he went to them 3 times. And he kept asking, can you not watch for 1 hour? We'll calculate three. Why did Jesus have to pray 3 hours in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross? Why not a minute? Why do you need to be persistent? What is going on there? Let's understand the spirituality. What's the problem? Yeah? God is good and you are his child. Why do you need persistence in prayer? He prayed yesterday. 1 year later, why has it not happened? Okay, let's explore that. Yes? Okay, let me try someone who has not spoken first.
Is to know the value of what you're asking for, to appreciate the value of it.
To appreciate the value of what you're asking for. Can you imagine if I give my children everything they ask for at the press of a button? They won't even respect me anymore. I'm just a genie, yeah? Genie in a bottle. You know, like a genie in a bottle. Don't you get it? As big as that genie is, if you can capture it inside what? A bottle. You just be telling it, do this, do that. It will be doing. Is that God? Is he your genie in a bottle? Yes. Did I see more hands? Yes, sir.
So the Spirit was telling me to say about Proverbs 24:16.
Mm-hmm.
For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. And I think it's that persistence that's kind of echoing in that scripture about being righteous is to stay steadfast and persevere, whereas the wicked just fall by the...
To stay steady. Hallelujah. Yeah. To stay what? Steady. Open your Bible to Ephesians 6. Sorry. Sorry.
No, I don't need microphone. My voice is bigger. Yeah, go on. The thing with persistence is each time you are praying, you might not be aware of what is going on. You are actually being sanctified and you are showing humility. Mm. Yes. And the moment you're showing humility, then God is saying, oh, he's perfectly aware of what he's asking for.
Good.
Each time you come to God and you are very humble, God will look into your case faster. But if you come and you just say, oh God, I have this problem, help me. And God says, okay, thank you. There are 8 billion people waiting for that.
Well, the Bible says God resists the proud. But he gives what? Grace to the humble. Sometimes your prayers are not answered because you are proud. And God knows that answering that prayer will not help you. Even if it's a good thing, you can misuse it or mishandle it because you didn't appreciate the process. Yeah? It's like me wanting to pastor 1,000 people. Yeah? He won't do it in the first year or in the first month. It takes you through that valley of shadow of death. So you know the value. So that when it comes, you will not mess it up. It develops you in the process. It prunes you in the process. It refines you in the process. Yeah? So that when your blessing comes, you can use it for His glory. God does not have any obligation to give you what is not within His will for you. Think about it. Let me just explain that to you again. I don't have any obligation to fund your prodigality. I don't have any obligation to fund your wastefulness. I don't have any obligation to fund your immorality. If your mission does not align with my interest, I don't have any obligation to do it for you. What God wants to fund in your life is that which will bring Him glory. And that you will use for His glory. Do you see that? There are some things you will pray to God for, He won't give you. Because giving you will take you outside, far away from Him. Of course, when He doesn't give you, you can go to the devil. The devil can give you. But the devil will tie you down. I hope you know that it's not only God that gives people things. The devil can. The difference is that when God gives you something, it's a good and a perfect gift. But the devil can give you a good gift, yeah, that is poisoned. And you will not notice until the poison has taken effect. Are you with me? I just want to clarify this about prayer. That God does not have any obligation to give you your will. But He has the obligation to give you what aligns or what is provided for in His will. And there are many good things provided in God's will. Because He gave you life anyway. God gave you life. So He wants you to have the best life. So within that plan of God, there are many good things. But outside the plan of God, anything that is good, yeah, is not good for you. Because in the long term, it will do you harm. Now listen, we don't measure it that way. We measure that if I can have money, all the money, all the fame, all the achievement, I am successful and God is with me. No, sir. When you came into this world, God has a plan for your life. There are things that God wants to achieve in your life. There are things that God wants you to do through your life. Yeah? If those things are not achieved, your life was a waste. It never happened. It doesn't matter the money you had. You are like an unbeliever. Yeah? It's like you came but you did not come. So every time, God is trying to put you in the center of His will for you. And His will for you is good. It's acceptable. And it's perfect. Hallelujah. You will never do better than God's will for your life. You cannot do better. Are you with me? So, why doesn't God answer all your prayers at the press of a button? That's the question. Yes? Did you want to say something? Did I miss it? Yes, let's have it. And then we go to Ephesians 6. I'll quickly answer that question. Go for it.
It goes in line with what you just said because sometimes we ask things that are not important for us, that are not aligned with what God wants. And because first thing God wants us to have is our salvation of our soul, and all other things will be added to. And He knows also that when we ask something that we need, if it will be in His glory, then He will give it to us. That is why, like the pastor was saying, if we ask for something that you can start praying today, you ask for something, and somebody else start praying tomorrow, you ask for the same thing, God will answer that person's prayer before yours, because that person that person has done his first works, that is having the salvation of God and wants to glorify God.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Now open your Bible to Ephesians 6. Now let's assume that what you're asking for from God is provided for. For example, I believe that God wants you to be well, to be healthy. But there are times that God will prefer you to be sick. If you are proud, if you are rebellious, and nothing will humble you. So we'll give you something that will humble you, so that you can repent. But the moment you've repented, He's ready to heal you. You see that? Yeah? You see that? So there are some times that God will allow something in your life, because there's no other way to get your attention. Yeah? But the moment you take on the right attitude, He's ready to heal you. We see that in the story of Israel, the people of God, the children of God. Though they were the chosen nation of God, every time they rebelled, yeah, God will hand them over to their enemies. Can you imagine that the nation of Israel, the choice nation of God, the children of Abraham, was handed over to Babylon to be in exile for 70 years? Can you believe that? Yeah? It's the result of rebellion. It's the result of disobedience. It's the result of pride. But God doesn't want you to remain there. The moment you repent, God is in the business of restoring you. Yeah? There is nothing that the devil has done in your life that God cannot make right. Hallelujah. You know why? The devil is a created being. He is limited. Hallelujah. But God is not created. Yeah? God is not created. So He can undo everything. He has the ability. Yeah? If my heart and attitude is right. So now, we are looking at the case whereby what you are asking for is within the plan. Yeah? Whatever. I don't know what you want. But if you can compare what you want with the word of God, and you can be sure that this is what God, this is righteous. This is godly. This is good. Yeah? Are you with me? It's like me now. I want to pastor. I want to turn thousands of people in Basingstoke to righteousness. And that's my calling. Yeah? Thousands. I just want people to come and know God for real and have a personal relationship with God and do the works of righteousness. That is within His will, isn't it? So why is it not happening overnight? Ephesians 6, let's read it. Ephesians 6, verse what? Thank you. Yeah, I wanted us to go backward. And Ephesians 6, verse so it's not fair for me to ask you. Except you can read my mind. No, it's somewhere verse 10, 11, something about warfare, spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:12. Young people. Yes. Who is there? Who is on the Bible app? Are you still keeping the contract? Yes. Thank you. Ephesians 6:12. Tell us which version you're reading.
New Living Translation.
Thank you, sir. Go for it.
For we are not fighting against flesh and blood and enemies.
Yes.
But against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places.
Amen. Can you pass it to your right for another version? Ephesians 6:12.
For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers and this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms.
Amen. Now please, let's first of all clarify what this verse is not saying. This verse is not telling you that you can't fight people and you will not fight people. You can fight people if you want to. Yeah? You can spend all your time fighting what? People. Quarreling. Backbiting. What are the words? Blackmailing. What are the words? Betraying. What else? Sorry? Harassing. What else? Deceiving. You can decide you want to live in that realm. Yeah? Satan will just be happy with dancing. If you are fighting your wife, you know, Michael Jackson, it will break dancing over your head. You know, you're going, every time you're complaining about your husband, Satan is happy. Ah, good, praise God. Satan is happy. He can praise God. You see, wait, let me tell you something. If Satan is achieving his purpose, he can praise God. Unbelievers praise God if they hit a jackpot. That doesn't mean they believe. They truly believe. The Bible says that even the demons, they believe and they tremble. But that doesn't mean. Because faith without corresponding actions is dead. Anybody can praise God when it's convenient, isn't it? Okay, but I take that line back. I take it back. Don't assume I said Satan is praising God. Okay, let's take it back. But you catch the picture. That is not where God wants you to be. That's not the real warfare. That's not the real warfare. Fighting people, quarreling with people, yeah, it's not the real warfare. Yeah? Complaining about who stole your song, bitterness, resentment, that's not the real warfare. You understand? Even when people are mean to you, there's something behind it. So let's really go to where the real problem is. There are principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in where? High places. Another version says they are in heavenly places. They are contending. So I want you to understand that there is a contention, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, there is a contention between good and evil. And even what you want God to do for you, yeah? Even though God wants to do it for you, there is a contention between good and evil. We are living in that atmosphere. So, open your Bible to Luke 11. Luke 11, we need to back up this with the word of God. I want you to see what Jesus is teaching us. Luke 11. Luke chapter 11. And we're looking at verse 2. Luke 11, 2. If you have the mic, just go for it. Luke 11, 2.
And Jesus said, this is how you should pray.
This is how you should pray.
Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon.
Continue.
Give us each day.
Oh, did he jump that one? Why is New Living jumping? Yeah? Why is he jumping some lines for me today? Let's have New King James or King James. Sorry, it's not about you, it's about New Living. Yeah. Yes. Luke 11, 2, please.
I'm reading King James. Also.
Thank you. Go for it.
And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth.
So on earth. Amen. Amen. And who has in King James? That's New King James. That King James. Yes. New King James then. they are similar. I just wanted to tweak something. So Luke 11 to New King James.
Okay. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
Amen.
Why do you need to pray that God's will should be done on earth? Hello? Isn't God all powerful? Isn't God good? Why do you need to pray that God's will should be done on earth?
Because he gave us free will.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So I want you just to develop it further. Yes, you want to develop it further?
Because we don't want our ego to influence it.
Yes. So let me try to reframe the question. So, why is God's will not being automatically done on earth? Oh, okay, come back to free will, but I want you to take it for that. Let me take more answers and I'll get what I need.
He wants us to want it just as much as he does.
Yes, that's right. But why do we even need to want it before it's done? Why can't it just be done? You've not spoken.
Because the devil is the prince of this world, and yeah, we have to pray for God's kind of intervention.
Thank you. The point I'm trying to show you there is that there's contention. You don't need to pray for God's will to be done on earth if there was no contention. Like I want God, like, let's assume now that my free will has been enlisted. I want God's will to be done. You know, I wouldn't be praying that God's will should be done if I don't want it. Of course, many people say the Lord's Prayer, but they don't know, they don't mean what they are saying, yeah? They just recite it. They don't know the meaning. But when you are praying that God's will should be done on your heart, you know that starts from your own life. Do you understand that it starts from your life? Then it moves on to your family, your home, your family, your community, your society, your nation. Yeah? But you've already been enlisted. You said, you're saying, Lord, your will be done. So you want it, yeah? But why do you need to pray it? If I want it, why is it not just happening? What I'm saying is that I want God's will to be done, but why do I need to pray that his will should be done? Because God, of course, does God want his will to be done or not? Of course. Do you agree? He wanted it all the time. Since yesterday. Yeah. Now you want it. So, balance. But there's still a gap. God wants it. I want it. But I still need to pray. Why? There's contention. There is contention between good and evil. There are many things that God wants to do in your life. But if you're not going to invest time and pray about it, it will not happen until you leave this world. And that's not a curse. Hello? Please follow prayer. I'm trying to explain to you prayer. There are some, in God's plan for your life, there are many beautiful things that he wants done. I'm not talking only on the material level. It's the lowest level. The beautiful that God wants in your life starts from spiritual to mental to emotional, including relationships. Yeah? To physical, including your health and well-being. And then to financial and then to material. The material is the lowest of them. You know, you can prove it. Because at the end of the world, yeah, the material will be burnt with fire. Huh? And there will be new heavens and a new earth. Hallelujah. If you want to spend your life building a beautiful house, the day is coming. You know that skyscraper in Dubai? What's the name? Yeah? What's the name? Of the skyscraper in Dubai. The one that tourists visit. It's Burj Khalifa. Now, I'm not saying you cannot visit there. Although, honestly, I don't have any desire. Because I need to perish. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to the New Jerusalem. It's a glass-like city. Transparent all through. 12 floors. Garnished with precious stones. With God himself being the light. Yeah? Have you ever heard of a multi-layered city? Not a multi-floor skyscraper, but multi-layered city. City. City has 12 layers. Yeah? Not a building, but a city. And it's all glass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every beautiful thing in this world that you're dying for, at the material level, will perish. At the material level, please understand me. What will not perish is that which is of the soul. Yeah? And of the spirit. I'm talking about your mind. I'm talking about your emotions. I'm talking about your relationships. I'm talking about the things you did to make a difference. Yeah, in a life. They won't perish. That's the real life you lived. Yeah? The real life you live is how your life made a difference in the life of other people for the glory of God. That is an eternal record. Are you with me? Yeah? So there's warfare. There's warfare. And the gap is prayer. Hallelujah. God already wants to move in my life. Yeah? Sometimes the problem is me agreeing with God. Sometimes you don't agree with God. Open your way to Luke 11. I'm showing this about prayer today. God will help you. And we will. Let me see how we're doing with time. Yes? So we finish. Try to finish in another 10 to 15 minutes. Go back to Luke 11. I hope you are paying attention. God is showing you something very important. Luke 11. Can you read? Luke 11, 11 to 13. Yeah, yes. Tell us which version.
New Living Translation. You, Father, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?
Amen. So Bible says, as human beings, we can be sinful. Every human being can sin. Some sin more than others. Yeah. I hope that if you are born again, yeah, and you have received the righteousness of God, you are living a righteous life. The purpose of the right standing you have received is right living. If your right standing cannot produce right living, it's not much value. Your relationship with God has got to translate into the way you live your life. Amen? It starts from the relationship, but it overflows into how I live. Hallelujah? So, Bible says that at the human level, your son, your daughter comes to you and asks for a good gift. Question, who determines the goodness of that gift? The child or the parent? Who determines that whether what a child is asking for is good? And just throw some light there.
The parent.
So, why can't it be the child? Tell me.
For instance, a child can ask the father to put, if you make a cup of tea, he will want it sweet, put about 4 or 5 spoons of sugar in, but the father knows what the sugar is causing, he won't give that.
I'm trying to show you something deeper about this verse. It is not the person asking that determines the goodness. It is the person what? Giving. Because that person giving, yeah, in this relationship is wiser, is the father. You know? He said he wants Xbox and Game Boy and PlayStation. Yeah? And he wants to have them unrestricted 24/7. And that will prove that you love him. That's the mind of a child. Yeah? Well, it's for you, for the Bible says, that's not good for you. Amen? Please follow what I'm saying. I want to show you something deeper about this statement. I would say that if you ask a good father, yeah, for a good gift, you ask him for bread, will he give you what? Stone. What if you ask him for stone? And you are persistent. And he's a good father. What will he do? He will not give you stone. If I get nothing for being foolish. Because I can prove it. James chapter 3. Open your Bible to James chapter 3 verse 3. James 3 3. Let's open that. James 3 3. Let's read it. James chapter 3 verse 3. James chapter 3 verse 3. Who has it? James 3 3. Yes, thank you, sir.
James chapter 3, verse.
Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths.
James 4:3.
Ye ask, this New King James Version. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust.
You know, Luke said, ask and you will what? Receive. Someone said, Bible said, ask and receive. Whatever I ask, I must receive. I receive it all in Jesus' name. God, if you don't give it, you have denied your word. No, sir. Yeah, that was the half-baked cake. You didn't read it full. Yeah? He gave me the key, but you understand it. Yeah? You can ask and not receive because what you are asking for, yeah, is far away from the righteousness of God. Yeah? So God is not going to give you. If you get it, it didn't come from God. It could have come from your brain, your cunningness, your deception, or from the devil. And when you get it from your cunningness, deception, or the devil, believe me, there's poison inside. But it will unpack itself gradually. Yeah? Before you discover that there's poison, it has hit you hard. Are you with me? But if you want a good and a perfect gift, yeah? You have to stay in the will of the Father. So it is possible for you to go and ask him for a stone. But because a good father, he won't give you a stone. He won't give you what? a stone. God will not give you a stone in place of bread. If you're asking for stone to build a house, he will give you stone. You with me? But for bread, he will not give you stone. Not God. The devil can. The devil can what? Give you stone for bread. He will package it well. He will bake it. He will bake bread around it. Yeah, when you beat him, it has entered your mouth. Then you get to grind your teeth. You understand what I'm saying? God will not give you a scorpion in place of an egg. He's a good father. Are you with me? So the first thing about prayer is that when I want to pray, I must verify that what I'm asking for is what? Is genuine bread. What I'm asking for is genuine egg. Are you with me? How do I know that? Spend time in the Word of God. Spend time in fellowship. Spend time with the people of God. Yeah, receive good counsel from people of God. You'll be able to streamline your prayer and know what to pray for. Because I don't know what to pray for, yeah, I'm going nowhere. Even if it's your friend, he's not going to give you stone for bread if he's a good friend. You with me? You got that about prayer? But the second one, I'm asking for bread. I'm asking for egg. It is within the will of the Father. He wants to give me. Yeah? But there's contention. The contention could be in my own, my personal life. I may be holding on to something that should not be there. Yeah? And that, what I'm holding on, may stop me from being able to receive or enjoy what God wants to give me. And God wants to deal with that problem in my life. Because he knows that once he gives me what I'm asking for, he's bye-bye. See you next year. And God knows that he doesn't want to see you next year. He won't see you tomorrow. So he wants to deal with that. So that's one. Secondly, is that there may be nothing wrong with you, but there's just something wrong with the world, something wrong with the family, something wrong with the community, something wrong somewhere. Yeah? The evil force is contending against the good force. Who is going to prevail? Who is going to win? It's you have to be persistent in prayer. You see, it's a law. You can't, there's nothing you can do about it. It's a law. You just have to operate it. You stay there. Yeah? You what? You stay there. You pray. You ask and you keep on asking. You seek and you keep on what? Seeking. You knock and you keep on what? Knocking. That is what, you know, you've read that verse. Everyone that asks receives them. But I've asked, I've not received. Yeah? Did you ask amiss? Or did you stop persisting? Yeah? You let the devil steal away your blessing because you could not persevere and stay there. Hallelujah. Are you with me? You persist. Be persistent in your prayer. First of all, verify that what you are praying for is within his will. Okay? So we round up in 7 minutes. How can I know the will of God? Or how can I improve my prayer life? Can I say that? How can I improve my prayer life? If you want to improve your prayer life, start with put the priority where Jesus taught you. The priority of your prayer life is not your daily bread. The priority of a prayer life is first and foremost your relationship with God as your Father. Our Father in what? In heaven. You see, if you don't know God as your Father, your prayer life is upside down. It's absolutely upside down. Yeah? No, it's not upside down. It's inside out. Because you get daily bread, that one is the inside. You with me? Okay, I know God as my Father. But all I still want to deal with God is my daily bread. Your daily bread, by the way, I'm not talking about just only the food on your table. I'm talking about all those things you want. Yeah? All those things you want. All the materialistic things you want. I'm not talking about cash. Yeah? Think about what you think is your greatest need now. That's what, for you, it's like bread. Yeah? Yeah? That's what you want. Yeah? But God said that what you want is not the most important thing in prayer. Let's follow the Lord's Prayer. Let's say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven. Yeah? First prayer point. Once I've settled my relationship with God, what's the first prayer point? I want His name to be honored and glorified. And I'm praying that part of His name being honored and glorified is that righteousness prevails. Righteousness expands. That people come to know God. Yeah. His name is being honored. Many people out there, they are dishonoring the name of the Lord. They are blaspheming His name. Yeah? They are swearing and cursing the name of the Lord. They are saying, I don't care. Who cares about God? I got cash. I got money. But you are praying and say, Lord, that is upside down. Yeah? I'm still praying. It's still prayer. What is the next prayer point? What's the next one? What's the prayer point? Your kingdom come. And what? It will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That, see, when you're praying like that, when you now come to your knees, you'll be getting it right. If you've not filtered your need through the kingdom and His will, you'll be asking amiss. And I think the last place I want to be in my life is to be persisting in a prayer that is amiss. It's going nowhere. Hallelujah. But when I know my prayer is right, I can persist. And the Bible says, if I persist, I will receive. I will find. Yeah? The door shall be what? Shall be open. Maybe you can follow me. Are you still with me? We're about finishing. Are you with me? Yeah? 3 more minutes. So somebody read for me Luke 18. Let me finish on that note. Luke 18:1-8. I want to show you another story Jesus told about persistence. Luke 18:1-8. Just one good reader and we're done. Luke 18:1-8. Please listen attentively as that story is read. It will make more sense now based on all we've taught today. Just listen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Luke 18:1-8. One day Jesus told His disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant requests. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. The Lord, even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to His chosen people who cry out to Him day and night?
How did they do to Him? His elect. The Lord is elect. What does elect do? They what?
They cry
out
day and night.
This is the elect of God. Yeah. They cry out to Him what?
Day and night.
Continue.
Will He keep putting them off? I tell you, He will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will He find on the earth who have faith?
To have faith, you have to have perseverance. Yeah? If your faith cannot persevere, it's shallow faith. Hallelujah? Because there's contention in the spiritual realm. Yeah? And for you to prevail, you persist. You persevere. This widow, you don't understand the resume. This judge, he doesn't fear God. I didn't say so. Who says so? Jesus. Even like, if I say, that man doesn't fear God. That judge, I could be wrong. I'm making a wrong judgment, yeah? But Jesus, this one, is certified as a man who doesn't fear. By the way, that's a very bad resume. If God says that you don't fear Him, you're in a bad place. Yeah? And he doesn't what? He doesn't regard people. Can you see the resume? So you cannot go to him based on connection. He doesn't say, I beg you in the name of God. He said, which God? I don't fear God. I don't know God. I don't care about anything. Yeah? Are you following? You can't go to him based on principles or relationship in this particular example. The only thing this widow had is that I will keep going because I am convinced that my purpose is right. If our purpose was wrong, the man will never do anything. There was somewhere inside his conscience that he knew that what she's asking for is right. Because you see from the story, he said, he gave her justice. So you can't give justice without conscience. For you to, the concept of justice is always connected to conscience. Are you with me? There's no justice without conscience. So he knew somewhere that this is my life, but he doesn't care. Who do I care? But she persisted. So the point we're saying to you is that you're too lazy. Instead of Christians that word, lazy. Lazy Christians. They will feast, but they will not fast. I don't think they're in trouble. They will feast, but they will not pray. They will feast for 2 hours and pray for 2 minutes. So this. So how then are you not seeing the move of God in your life, in your family, in your community, in your situations? You have to stay there. Persist. Cry out to God about what you care about day and night. Tell him to move. Tell him to intervene. Tell him to do something. If you are convinced that what you are praying for is right, yeah, and you persist in the place of prayer, you will see great things. You will see God move. God moving in your life is more than the food you want to eat. You will see God what? Move. What will you see? God move. Let's rise up. Talk to God. I want to be that God has spoken to you today. You see, in addition to the free will God gave you, he gave you something, give everybody. Everybody can pray. Nobody can colonize prayer and say, you know what, you are not permitted to pray. We are the ones that can pray. No, you can cry out to God about anything and everything. You can spend some time and just pour your heart out to God repeatedly and over again. You can do it day and night. If there's something that is oppressing your life, oppressing your destiny, you can cry out. Oh yes, a pastor can pray for you, but you can also cry out yourself. The widow had no connection, had nothing, but she cried out. And she was able to prevail. So talk to God and say, Lord, I rededicate myself to prayer. We're too lazy. We're lazy believers. That's why you will not see anything. You will not see the hand of God. The best you achieve is just what your brain and your savviness and your cunningness can achieve. But that's not righteousness. From today, you want to spend more time in prayer. You want to give time, not just to feasting, but to fasting. It is something that is burdening your life, yeah? You ought to be able to fast about it and talk and cry to God. And let me also say, let your prayer not just be only for selfish reasons. You know, selfish reasons? Myself, my spouse, my children, my siblings, my parents. That's selfish reasons. What about the kingdom? What about the souls that don't know God? That they're on their way to hell. They don't know God. They don't know God. What about the people that are in bondage? They're in bondage of Satan, bondage of witchcraft. Yeah, who's going to pray for them? Who's going to pray for them when you're just only busy praying only for your own micro needs? That's all you care about. What about the kingdom? When you show up before God, what will you say you've achieved in your life? How many souls have God used to touch? Yeah, for eternity, for his glory. Of course, you have very little because all you're chasing is just material things. By people who don't know God. I want to talk to God and make a commitment to God. That has to change from this moment. If your life will come for eternity, it has to change now. The scheme of the devil, yeah, is to keep you busy with the cares of this life. Then before you know it, another 10 years of your life will be gone. You will have counted little or nothing for the kingdom.
God forbid, I'm just not going to live my life. I'm not going to live like I never came. I'm going to live for His glory. That's why I say, seek ye first the kingdom and His righteousness. One of the ways you do that is in the place of prayer. And as you do that, you will see the power of God move more in your life. You will see life touch, life change, and you will also see your daily bread provided. Thank you, Lord. We will seek grace to engage more in the place of prayer. We will seek grace to pray more, to fast more, to spend time in your presence, so that your power and your glory can be made manifest in our lives, in our homes, in our families, in our community. We want to see your glory. We want to see your power. We want to see lives transformed. We want to see people in bondage set free. We want to see all people who are broken hearted healed, transformed. We want to see souls saved and brought into the kingdom. And Lord, we cry to you in the name of Jesus that Lord, you will use us for your glory. In Jesus' name.